us together as a family, Lord, to worship you for the song, to listen to your word, God, that we would worship who you are, and that would make us add all these virtues that would not be done in this country, that we would be light unto the world. And God, I pray for Craig as he comes, that you would just speak to us as this, and we thank you.
I really appreciated the song set this morning, in that today's passage is actually very straightforward, very practical, but the practicality has to be motivated by something. We have to have a desire, and that's really what we sang about here this morning. So anyway, appreciate that. Rick, the last verse he read there was verse 8, and it says this: "For if these things are yours and abound," and we're going to look at these things, okay? "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And really, this gives us, maybe this isn't the best term, but the end game really is fruitfulness. That's what we are wanting to be, fruitfulness in the knowledge of God. And this is us. In fact, John just prayed this, it was Rick that just prayed this. He said, this is us conveying the truth of Christ and his salvation in the world by being Christ-like examples to the world. Last week we looked at the enriched environment that we as believers have been placed into so that we will germinate and grow. And we looked at the foundation of our faith. Well, this morning we're going to see the fortification of our faith. This is us growing. Okay, again, the end game is fruit. This is us conveying the truth of Christ and his salvation in the world by being Christ-like examples to the world. And our passage describes what that looks like. In verses 5 through 7, we're given a list of sorts. And it describes one thing being added to another, and another added, and another added, and so on. And it's tempting to look at a passage like this and think of it like a stack of blocks, you know, one thing on top of another, or maybe some kind of a process or steps. However, the word add or supply or supplement, your translation might have, that's used in verse 5 actually means to super add. Rather than these qualities being stacked upon one another, they're actually in chorus with one another, complementary of one another, growing with one another, and fortifying one another. If faith in Christ is the song, virtue could be the melody, knowledge could be the lyric, self-control could be the harmony, love could be the conductor. If faith in Christ is the foundation of a building, virtue could be the wood framing, knowledge could be the floor, self-control could be the sheeting, love could be the nails that holds it all together. If faith in Christ were the root of a tree, virtue could be the trunk, knowledge could be the branches, self-control could be the leaves, love could be the blossoms of fruit. So our passage is not describing a stack, okay, of building blocks. It's not describing steps in a process or even stages of growth. Rather, it is a chorus of complementary parts all growing together. It's like a tree is a tree when it's small, and it's still a tree when it's big. That's what we're looking at right here. All are necessary. All are in chorus with one another, and all will grow or should grow along with one another. That's what's being described here. They're super added to one another for the fortifying of our faith. And if we're diligent in growing these things, these virtues in our life, not only will we be more Christ-like, but we'll bear fruit. We'll bear fruit. And so Peter here describes the fortification of our faith. And I might add, what he's leading up to in chapter 1 is he's bracing us for what he's going to talk about in chapter 2. If we're not growing, if we're not getting stronger in the faith, more mature in the faith, we could give in to false teachers. So that's what I'm calling our message today, the fortification of our faith. The fortification of our faith. And in verses 5 through 7, Peter does give us 7 qualities that will fortify one another as we are diligent to pursue growth. From foundation to fruition. The root is the root, the trunk is the trunk, the branches are the branches. They all grow in chorus with one another, and that is how our faith is fortified as well. Now, just before we look at these qualities, again, this is a very practical passage of Scripture here this morning. But just before we look at these qualities, 2 things to note. We are to grow because we've germinated. All right, we talked about that last week. That is what we looked at. We are a new creation that has been placed into an enriched environment of divine power, divine promises. And Peter says at the beginning of verse 5, he says then, for this very reason. In other words, because we've been planted in this enriched environment, because we've germinated, he says, now give all diligence to this growth. We are to grow because we have germinated, and then the second thing to note is we are to give all diligence to this growth. Meaning, this is top priority. We must be eagerly, earnestly, carefully pursuing growth and maturity in our Christian life. That's diligence. But here now are the 7 qualities we must apply all of diligence to. Verses 5 through 7. And this is the only time I don't think Dave's got it for every slide here, but this is the only time I'm calling up this passage, and then we're going to go through it word by word here. But verses 5 through 7, it says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And so here we have the seven qualities that will fortify our faith. Here's the first. It's virtue. It's virtue. I know all of these are virtues, but virtue is the first quality listed. And he tells us to add virtue to faith. Faith is what we talked about last week. Virtue is what we're now adding to it. A virtue is a moral excellence lived out in our life. That's what a virtue is. A virtue is a moral excellence lived out in our life. In fact, the word in the original Greek was used of things that fulfilled their purpose. If somebody built something and it actually did what they built it to do, they called it virtuous. I have a car on which it's a bit difficult to get to the oil filter to get it off. And so I found a tool that actually has three prongs that reach up, and as you turn it, it latches onto the filter and twists it off, all right? And it's supposed to make it easy. Well, that is what the literature told me it would do. And as I used it, it did it. It did it. That's virtue. If faith is trusting in the truth of God's word, if faith is trusting in the moral excellence of God, if faith is trusting in the goodness of God as communicated in His Word, if faith is, well, I'll end it there. If faith is trusting in the goodness of God as communicated in God's Word, virtue is fulfilling our purpose by living it out in our life. Again, it's a moral excellence lived out in our life. We are fulfilling our purpose as we were designed, created by God to do. Back in verse 3 of this chapter, we learned that God is virtuous. Back in verse 4 of this chapter, we were told that through faith in God's promises, we can be partakers of the divine nature. And now we are being told, here you go. You've got everything you need. Live it out in your life. Mature. Virtue is a way to fortify our faith. If I didn't use that oil filter tool, that might be a demonstration that I really didn't believe it would work. But because I did believe it would work, virtue was added to faith. James 1:22 tells us, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Add virtue to faith. Here's the second quality. The second quality is knowledge. Add knowledge to virtue. Add knowledge to virtue. Because I used the oil filter tool, I now know it works. I know experientially that it works. In fact, the knowledge spoken of in verse 5 is practical knowledge. Knowledge that we have learned from experience. We've practiced it. Knowledge that we now have because we are practicing what we've trusted in. Many of you probably have this verse committed to memory. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Now I have trusted in that Proverbs principle. I have practiced that principle. And I now know from experience that principle, it works. It works. God has directed my paths. And now I will trust Him all the more and practice this principle all the more and know all the more that God directs my path. That's the kind of growth we're talking about here. That's adding knowledge to virtue. Here's the third quality. The third quality is self-control. Add self-control to knowledge. Self-control is doing what we know we must do and not something we know we should not do. All right? It really is kind of that simple. Self-control is doing what we know we must do rather than something we know we should not do. And in the growth process, we need to add self-control to what we know. We know now the things that we should do. We've read them in God's Word. We've trusted them. We applied them to our life. Well, self-control is us doing it. This is us disciplining ourselves to do what God says we should do rather than giving into the old nature of sin. And as we are partakers of the divine nature, we learned that last week, as we have the very Spirit of God living within us, as we yield to Him, He will produce self-control in us. We can have the power to control ourselves. Galatians 5:16, the Apostle Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We can be partakers of the divine nature, and that is why this fortification of faith can take place. Please take note, Peter's list is similar to that of the fruit of the Spirit, if you know that passage. That's Galatians 5 as well. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Here's the fourth quality. Add perseverance to self-control. Add perseverance to self-control. Where self-control has a bit more to do with perhaps enduring temptations, perseverance has more to do with enduring trials. Perseverance is hopeful endurance right in the middle of trials. Your translation might have the word patience rather than perseverance, maybe long suffering, I don't know. But this is us learning to and growing in our ability to wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord. Patience is one of those qualities that is often joked about in Christian circles. I have heard people say, I have said, don't pray for patience because God will teach it to you, right? God will answer that prayer. He may teach us patience. And boy, oh boy, does He. He does. And in fact, one of the main problems that Peter is going to address in this letter later on is patience. False teachers were saying, you know, Jesus said He was going to come back and everything continues just like it always has. I don't think He's coming back. I don't believe He's coming back. And so Peter will remind them, he's going to say, for the Lord, 1,000 years is like a day and a day is like 1,000 years. Peter was dealing with people who were impatient 30 years after the ascension of Christ. Here we are, 2,000 years later, God is teaching us patience, isn't He? We're still waiting. But patience is an important lesson for us to learn and an important quality for us to have. Patience is, if you think about it from God's standpoint, patience is a very merciful quality of God. It demonstrates, as Peter is going to say, that He does not want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should trust in Him. Think about it this way, and I think this is Peter's point in the 1,000-year saying. Think about it this way. What's time to God? It's nothing. He invented it for us, okay? And really, what is time to us as believers in the grand promise of living forever with God? Paul again in Romans 18 said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You see, impatience is a trait of our old nature that is focused on the temporalness of life. That's impatience. Impatience is a trait of our old nature that is focused on the temporalness of life. Time's running out. Time's running out. That's being impatient. Perseverance or patience is a trait of our divine nature that is focused on the eternalness of our life. Some of the best testimonies of Jesus working in a believer's life that I have ever witnessed have been in Christians in the midst of some of the most enormous trials life, this life can bring. But they were a testimony because they were joyous. They were focused on the eternal. They knew the promises of God. They persevered. And as partakers of the divine nature, perseverance in us displays God to the world. It displays our faith in Him, and it fortifies our faith. Impatience exposes our lack of faith. And that's why James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4, he says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart." Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. The fifth quality is godliness. Add godliness to perseverance. Add godliness to perseverance. You see, it's one thing to have a good attitude through a difficult trial. There are people lost in the world, lost unbelievers in the world that can have a good attitude through a difficult trial. But it's quite another altogether to continue to praise and worship and honor God joyfully through it. You see, godliness is, well, it's living a godly life. And the term here actually expresses true worship and true religion. You see, godliness is really an outward expression of our inward perseverance. Being patient may not be a visible quality, but being godly can be. It's us expressing our reverence to God by our piety in life. John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I love it when people notice godly things in me. Now, we want to be careful that we're not doing what we're doing for show. We are talking about character qualities here, virtues. These are expressions of honor toward God on the outside because of what's really going on the inside. I have had coworkers in the past who just after a short time on the job, I began noticing good things about them. We hadn't even had a conversation, but I started noticing some things. There were a few people in particular when I worked for More Business Forms, a couple of new employees. I noticed that he didn't use foul language. And that was very common in the plant. Okay? There was a woman I noticed that she never took overtime on Sundays. That was also very common in the plant. I noticed that he paused and bowed his head briefly before he took the first bite out of his sandwich. I noticed that she was really eager to learn the job, willing to help, had a joy about her. I noticed that she used the word blessed a lot. And I noticed when he asked me if I was a Christian. Apparently he noticed some things in me too. Praise the Lord. But my point here is if we notice one another, the world is noticing too. Either the godliness or not. Concerning godliness, some may even hate us for it. But others may profit because they've seen it in us. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:8 says, godliness is profitable for all things. For all things. Add godliness to perseverance. The sixth quality is brotherly kindness. Add brotherly kindness to godliness. Brotherly kindness is expressing honor and affection for one another as believers. Brotherly kindness is, well, it's brotherly love. In the Greek, it's the word philo, okay, where we get our word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And if godliness is an expression of honor and affection to God, brotherly kindness is our expression of honor and affection to one another. There is much in Scripture about adding brotherly kindness to godliness. This is, again, it's how we treat one another. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Galatians 5:13 says, serve one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, comfort each other and edify one another. 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another. In fact, there's much scripture that says that if we are not kindly affectionate to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're probably faking our godliness. In fact, that's a theme of the last chapters of the book of 1 John. Let me read a few passages from that. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Add brotherly kindness to godliness. And this leads us to our last quality, and that is love. Add love to brotherly kindness. Where brotherly kindness is an expression of that philo, brotherly kind of affection, the love of verse 7 in the Greek is that agape love. Maybe you've heard that word, but it's God's kind of love, divine love, sacrificial love, unconditional love. Luke 10:27, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." John 13:34-35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And he says this, all will know that you are my disciples. You see, love is the glue that bonds all of these virtues together. Without love, it's all going to unravel. It won't stick. Colossians 3:14 puts it this way. "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Love is the glue. Love is what makes all of these virtues work. And guess what? As we are partakers of the divine natures we saw last week, you and I can now express this kind of love. We have the power by the Spirit to do it. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides or is connected to me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." And in connection to that, Peter gives us these seven qualities that can grow in us and will lead to fruit. These are the fortification of our faith. And in verse 8, again, the last verse that Rick read there, it says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And while this, verse 8, is actually where we're going to pick things up, Lord willing, next week, it is also our conclusion this morning. You see, we are to give all diligence to this growth we've talked about this morning, meaning it is top priority, a must. We must eagerly, earnestly, and carefully pursue these things. I pray that we perhaps evaluated ourselves in light of these virtues that we've looked at. But we need to be diligent in pursuing, maturing these things so that we will be fruitful. So what is the fruit? Well, certainly the fruit includes us being Christ-like in this world, abiding in the truth and exposing the false, and certainly that is the thrust of what Peter is communicating right here. But going back to the plant illustration that Peter himself is using here, we have been planted in the fertile ground of faith. We are to grow into a fortified plant that is flourishing, and it's for the purpose of fruit. But what is the purpose of fruit? Somebody shout it out. Eating, multiplying. It's multiply. I mean, that's the reason plants fruit, is to drop seeds, right? And multiply. The fruit of the plant is how it multiplies. The last song we sang was about multiplying. It falls on the ground. It yields some 10, some 30, some 100 fold. You see, God wants us to bear fruit and multiply. Because as Peter is going to say, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2,000 years now, God is still being mercifully patient. He wants us to bear fruit. Verse 9 of our passage here says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Father, I pray that that would not be us. Lord, that we would take what we are learning by inspiration of your Spirit through the Apostle Peter here and apply it. Perhaps again, even evaluate ourselves concerning these virtues that we've looked at. Are there some, Lord, that I am struggling with, that I am neglecting, that I'm not growing in? Lord, evaluate me. Evaluate us. Change us. Grow us by the power of your word. Thank you for this list, and I pray, Lord God, that we would take it and diligently pursue growth in these areas so that we may be fruitful. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And we are dismissed this morning.